Hey, we just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to this next program, because today's conversation on family life covers some pretty sensitive but really important subjects that may not be suitable for younger ears. So just use some discretion when listening to this next broadcast.
And let me add this. And if you do listen with your kids,
yeah,
talk about it after with them.
Right. This is an important conversation to have with maybe older kids, just depending on what you're thinking. But we just wanted to give you a heads up.
I think we get it wrong a lot as Christians. I think we have more so a worldly view of forgiveness, meaning a lot of people in the world will say, ultimately, there's no real justice. I basically give somebody a pass. I fall on my sword. But who's paying the debt? Because that person who abused me, they can't make it right.
Yeah.
And so the way I define forgiveness is surrendering the debt of the wrong somebody owes you to God, the just judge. He's going to sort it out.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
We're going to jump back into our conversation with Ben Bennett. His book is Free to Thrive, How You're Hurt, Struggles and Deepest Longings Can Lead to a Fulfilling Life, and it's co-authored by Josh McDowell. And this is just a great, rich conversation, one that you're going to maybe want to listen to several times.
Yep. So let's jump back in. Tell our viewers and listeners, like, what do you do?
I'm the co-founder with Josh McDowell of now it's a nonprofit called Resolution Movement. We resolution people with biblically based, trauma-informed answers to all kinds of hurts and struggles, whether people are dealing with mental health or need healing in some aspect of their life or dealing with sexual brokenness. We create messages and resources mainly catered towards Gen Z. We do a lot of YouVersion plans, podcast episodes. We write books, small group things. I go around and speak. It's an amazing opportunity to leverage what I've learned in my healing journey, the things Josh McDowell learned in his healing journey, and to help other people not have to struggle and suffer without answers the way that we did for years.
Do you think we all should be on a healing journey?
Yes, I think it's discipleship. I think of Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom, mental, stature, physical, and in favor with God.
And people.
Spiritual, and favor with man, relational. So I think there's a spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, relational aspect that all of us need to grow in. Yet so often we just focus on the spiritual aspect, which is so important. We need biblical literacy.
Or
we need
to
study the Bible.
But they're all together.
We focus just on the emotional or therapeutic side. Mm-hmm. You're saying there's a blend.
Yes.
Is it 50-50? Is it 70-30?
I guess it depends on how you slice the pie. Yeah. I mean, at some point, everything is spiritual because we're made in God's image.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think, too, as we're talking, Ben, so every listener
and viewer
could benefit going on a healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's true for us.
Well, walk us through your story.
I grew up surrounded by Christianity, going to church, met Jesus at a young age, really understood how to have a personal relationship with him. And while that relationship with God was restored, you know, I believed that Christ lived a perfect life for me, died for my sins, rose again. I was all in. Somehow at an early age, God just graced me with having that relationship. Mm. That relationship was good. It was restored, but other relationships were broken, particularly in my family life. My dad was in ministry, and yet he was also an alcoholic, and he was emotionally and physically abusive. Name-calling, manipulation, bullying.
Was that all a secret in your family?
Mm-hmm. And then my mom didn't intervene. And so here I have these two people that I'm supposed to be loved by, accepted by, discipled by, and then I'm seeing my dad act one way in the home and then one way around other people. That is a maddening experience for a child. And so what I did with that at a young age is I shut down. I thought I was the problem. Shame. There's something wrong with me. Mm. And I started developing different psychological symptoms, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, obsessive compulsive disorder, and trying to navigate that on my own.
And you're still giving your life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're there spiritually.
Yeah. One of my therapists said Jesus was your greatest coping mechanism.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. I'm so thankful that he was there when other people weren't.
Yeah.
But what I did with that pain was unknowingly, I was just struggling and coping and trying to survive. Fast forward to age 12, I get introduced to pornography, quickly get addicted to that, started dealing with body image, addicted to food, binge purge cycle over the course of time, gained 100 pounds, then lost the 100 pounds and was just coping so much. Mm. And all the while I'm crying out to God to free me, to help me, and trying to utilize these spiritual principles. Because I'm growing up, you know, in a missionary family. I'm growing up in the church. Mm. I'm talking to Jesus every day. I was reading the Bible here and there, but my, you know, that whole thing about praying without ceasing, like that was survival for me.
You were desperate.
Talking to God. Mm. The reality of the scripture that eternity is written on our hearts, like that was so real to me. At a young age, that even by the age of 7, I was sharing my faith with really? My friends and yeah. seeing them come to Christ. In some sense, I was saying, come follow Jesus. He'll heal you. He'll set you free. But he hasn't done that for me yet. Mm. I knew eternally he did.
Yeah.
But in the brokenness before I entered into my healing journey, I was so stuck in those things and the spiritual aspect of my life was so disconnected from the relational aspect, the emotional, the mental, the physical, and it was a long, long road of aloneness.
Great marriages don't just happen. They take intentional investment.
And that's why we want to acknowledge today's sponsor, Weekend to Remember, a 3-day marriage getaway hosted by Family Life.
Weekend to Remember has been held in cities across the country for more than 40 years with over 80 events each year.
And millions of couples have attended to strengthen communication, resolve conflict, and grow together.
To find an event near you and learn more, visit weekendtoremember.com.
How old were you when you started to really process through everything we talked about earlier? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at your book, Free to Thrive. Mm-hmm. When did you start to understand and process to the point where you're really starting to thrive?
What's the end of the story?
I think we're always on a journey, right, of healing and greater levels of freedom and discipleship. But I would say when I was 23, I went a year without looking at porn, but I wasn't free. Mm. It was just willpower, trying, like, I'm fighting to resist. Then that first year of the healing journey, therapy, going through the Life of No Secrets for a year. That was the year where we were in group counseling and started to really peel back the setup, so to speak, in our journey, the setup from the enemy, from what we had experienced growing up in our family, the setup of the lies, of the coping mechanisms. I did a year-long outpatient process with a certified addiction therapist, and it was so helpful in connecting the dots and understanding, why am I doing what I don't want to do? What is this actually about?
Romans 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a light bulb moment going off. Oh, this is making sense. And then it can start to shift from shame and condemnation to like grace. And then starting to, a big thing was relearn who God is and who he says I am. Mm-hmm. And learning that in the scriptures, having it modeled by mentors and the guys that I had a life of no secrets with. My therapist used to say, we're wounded in relationships and we're healed in relationships. And so over time of new experiences with godly, safe people, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, great mentors, great friends throughout the years, getting in those environments. And then another big thing was I had to cut the trash talking voice of shame in my head. I did a post on this on Instagram, 3 signs you're in an abusive relationship with yourself. And I'm convinced that most Christians are.
Oh, and I was terrible.
Sign number one is you tear yourself down.
Yeah. I would do it to motivate myself. Hmm. You know, you're so worthless. You're ugly and fat. Like awful things Satan would say to
you. Yes.
And Romans 12, 1 and 2 are my favorite verses because I feel like that has been transformative. It's training your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's biblical.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder how many lies the enemy has to tell us when we do such a good job of telling them to ourselves.
Exactly.
And if we can stop telling ourselves, like cut out that voice in our head and start telling us that we are 1 John 3:1, love children of God, Genesis 1, made in God's image. Like this is who we are. And then think about times we've experienced that. Whenever those lies come up, it starts to, God really heals us through it.
Yeah.
Wow. I was just looking at it. If you treated a friend the way you treat yourself, they'd leave. Mm. That's shame. That's harsh. God never calls you worthless. He never condemns you. If the voice in your head tears you down, it isn't his. Mm.
Yeah.
Hey,
I guess everybody needs to follow.
Yeah. Follow him. Ben V. Bennett.
Ben, I'm wondering.
No, I got to ask you this because you said something about you're wounded in relationships, you're healed in relationships. Mm-hmm. Apply that to marriage. I know you're not married, but in marriage, we feel the wound. Mm-hmm. We're sort of shocked by it because we didn't expect it because we found the one.
And there's a part of it.
And she's it and he's it, right?
We feel like our spouse will heal those wounds. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but all they do is trigger them.
Right.
Yeah. And so when that happens, I think a lot of us in the church as well think, I married the wrong person. I'm wounded by her. I'm wounded by him. I'm not going to be wounded by the next one. When I heard you say we're wounded and healed in relationships, I thought, that means the same relationship sometimes. You don't leave your marriage to go to another relationship to get healed.
Right. Unless it's abuse. There's abuse.
Yeah, if there's abuse, we say get help. You know, you're not supposed to just... But if it's this, it's like, no, stay in there and fight for this because this relationship's actually going to be what God's going to use to heal you with the same person that wounded you. Is that true?
Yeah. What I've seen, I guess, in dating relationships I've been a part of and then married couples who have been in some of the healing groups I've led is the first step is awareness of your story. Like, we're fighting over how to cut the tomatoes. Perhaps it's maybe not about the tomatoes, you know? Perhaps it's because you experienced this and I experienced this, and it's basically this giant trigger cycle. But the beauty is triggers can lead to transformation when you understand your story. And I've been able to practice this to talk about what happened, what did that cause in you, what did that remind you of? Then it gives you grace for the other person and to say, I have compassion on the 8-year-old who was yelled at for cutting the tomatoes wrong by their mom. And so I can own my part and be more sensitive on that. And then that can actually become, rather than what the enemy wants to use to divide a relationship, to divide a marriage, that can be used to heal a marriage.
A bridge. Yeah.
We've said that and we've done that quite a bit with couples, even with a small group of couples. I think it's really important to share your story. We call it your timeline story of the good and the hard. But we also tell the people in the group, listen for the things that have been really hurtful and then respond to them. And don't let the person that's told you, like they just need to listen and receive. And so listen for that, but also listen for like, this is what I see in you in terms of being made in God's image, like these beautiful things. I've seen couples do that with one another. They've been married for 10 years, but they still haven't shared sometimes those deepest, darkest wounds and hurts. And when a spouse or even another couple will say, that had to be so hard. Do you realize like how horrendous that is? When you're living it, you don't realize that because you've internalized it and condemned yourself. And then when they say, but this is what I see in you, people will just sob. And I think as a couple, we need to know each other's stories and the pain
and
points.
And that's being healed in relationships.
That's part of it. Amen. Yeah.
Hey, where does forgiveness fit in the journey? So I'm guessing you had to forgive some people.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm going to write a book on forgiveness sometime, because I think we get it wrong a lot as Christians. I think we have more so a worldly view of forgiveness, meaning a lot of people in the world will say, ultimately, there's no real justice. I basically give somebody a pass. I fall on my sword. But who's paying the debt? Because that person who abused me, they can't make it right.
Yeah.
And so the way I define forgiveness is surrendering the debt of the wrong somebody owes you to God, the just judge. He's going to sort it out. Where I got to, forgiveness used to be really hard because I thought it was like, well, there's no justice for the abuse I went through.
I get off free.
But when I started to, God showed me this in the scriptures. No, it's surrendering the debt to God. He's going to sort it out. I could start saying, well, that's easy. Like, I know you, you've been there since day one. I trust you. I'm not going to sort this debt out myself. Like, you're the ultimate debt collector, if we're being real. Maybe that sounds too dark, but he's the ultimate debt collector. He's going to sort it out. I know that I've had to be forgiven. And so I can give that person grace. And it's scary that there are debts that I have owed. I'm thankful that Christ paid the payment on the cross for me. Yet it's very freeing to forgive and to surrender it to God and to trust him as a just judge that there is justice for the things we've gone through for, I mean, even if you think about around the world, crimes against humanity, like atrocious things that have happened, like God is just, and his justice is good. And I trust him.
Mm-hmm. And be in his word to really believe that.
How did it go for you with your dad?
Well, for me, it was forgiving. It was surrendering that. Well, for me, forgiveness, and for many people, I think forgiveness is a decision to surrender that debt to God. But then there's a timeline of the emotions surrounding it, the anger, the grief, the stuff coming up again, the forgiving, but people not thinking they need to be forgiven for things, which I won't get into, but is a maddening, painful experience. And just sitting with that and processing that, but it's good to be in a place of forgiveness and to even move past bitterness or resentment, and even mostly to move past when people don't think they need to be forgiven or deny things, to not be bitter about that either and trust God.
It's really good.
Yeah, I used to say to the men at my church, I became a man around the age of 32, 33, and they're like, what? So that was the year I forgave my dad. You know, Lewis Smedes in a book on forgiveness says, when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free only to realize you're the prisoner. I didn't understand. I always thought I'm locking him up. You walked out, you don't get to come
back.
I'm like, I'm locking me up. I am not able to be the husband she needs and the dad my kids deserve until I go on this process. And that was a big deal. I feel like I don't think I really was free to be a man yet until I dealt with that. So I'm, you know, I'm guessing that was part of your journey. Here's my last question. The hat you're wearing.
I wanted to ask you that too.
Which people that aren't watching, they can't see it, but it says suicide stops with me. I'm guessing you get a lot of comments on that in the airport.
Yeah, I remember after starting Resolution Movement to help people with mental health and sexual brokenness and whatnot. So I've lost people to suicide. My one of my grandfathers, one of my friends I was talking with, one of his friends led a mental health movement, died. And we were just talking about like, this stops with us. Like, we're not going to go out this way as hard as life gets.
Yeah.
And we want to help other people stop from making or from ending up in that place. And so having wrestled with depression and it's almost like we're covenanting that we're gonna reach out, we're gonna trust each other, we're gonna walk with God and one another through this and try to help other people stay alive.
That's awesome.
I love that.
I think one of the things that I'm gonna take home, or I'm looking there. I want our listeners to really think about it, especially men, because I can't speak to women like you can, but do you have a couple guys in your life that you don't go two or three days not calling?
Yeah.
and sharing secrets or struggles you are holding just between you and God. And you know, you're losing those battles. You don't win those battles. You lose more. What a piece of advice of wisdom from you to say, who's in the foxhole with you, that there's no secrets. And you don't have 50 of those. You only need a couple, but you got to have them.
And I think too, with women, it's easy. We all get busy. We're just surviving. But there's something about getting real and getting down to earth and getting into our stuff. I was with a group of women who are great friends. We were just laughing. I'm like, I had this need because our kids were little, like, let's stop talking about nothingness, even though it's fun. Right, right. It's fun. But like, we're living at a time where it's hard. Like, I'm struggling. I know you guys are too. Let's get into it. I'm more of an intense person, so I'll take us there. But it's easy to get lazy. It's easy just to drift away from God, away from people. And man, that's exactly what Satan wants for us to be isolated. So your ministry is phenomenal.
And by the way, Free to Thrive, the book is in our show notes at familylifetoday.com. Just click on the link there. Buy the book. And the name of your ministry again, Resolution?
Resolution Movement.
Yeah, we'll put a link there as well so you can connect with Ben. And Ben has graciously written the seven longings in a document that we're going to provide for you. Just go to familylife.com/seven longings. The resource is there. And I'm telling you, we just read the book.
You guys,
this is
so
life-changing.
Good. This is going to be a gift for you to have.
familylife.com/seven longings.
And Ben, I was thinking, I'm like, I feel like it'd be so good for you to pray for people that are just feeling that stuck.
Yeah.
They're desperate and they're suffering in silence.
Yeah, I would love to. Father, you are holy and set apart. And the biggest word that comes to my mind is worthy. Mm. Worthy of our time, our thoughts, our worship, our stories. And we know that our stories aren't over. A lot of times healing is just around the other corner. I've seen that in my life. I've seen that in so many people's lives. So Jesus, I think about your compassion, your desire to heal the brokenhearted. I think about how you wept over Jerusalem. I think about how different translations say that you were indignant at times over the suffering you saw in people. And we know that the struggles, the trauma, the mental health issues, the addiction, the sin struggles, people are suffering and feel trapped and like there's no way out and are going through the emotions and going through the same things again and again. And God, I just pray you would deliver people, that you would set them free, that you would help them know the next best step to take and to see this as a journey, one step at a time. God, I pray that you'd provide relationships. God, would you bring wisdom into people's lives about the seven longings, the unmet longings, the things they've been through, how it's coming up now and what freedom looks like. God, I just pray for a fresh wind of encouragement, and this discouragement seems like it's happening all around the world and we see it by the numbers of people in crisis. God, would you just lift our eyes to where our help comes from? Mm-hmm. Would you keep people here, focused on you, focused on healing, discipleship, evangelism, reaching other people for your kingdom. And may we be able to preach a message that says, come follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. He'll heal you and set you free because he has done that for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yeah,
thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
That was awesome.
For
thanks for having me. Oof,
what a great ministry. I don't know if you know this, but we at Family Life would love to pray for you. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give people is to pray for them. And we have a team here at Family Life that would love to pray for you. You can go to familylife.com/pray for me. Again, that's familylife.com/pray for me. Tell us exactly how we can pray for you, what's going on. And here's the best part. God answers. God hears. God sees, and he is there for you. And we want to be there for you too. So go to familylife.com/pray for me.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry. helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.